WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The U.S. military has a policy that states homosexuality is incompatible with military service. Gays are prohibited from serving. But journalist Randy Schiltz reports that some men and women who are coming out to their commanding officers in the States are still being sent to the war in the Gulf. What will happen to them if and when they return is being questioned by gay rights advocates. Schiltz is working on a book on gays in the military. He's the national correspondent at the San Francisco Chronicle, where for many years he did groundbreaking coverage of the AIDS epidemic. He wrote the first comprehensive history of AIDS called And the Band Played On. Schiltz has conducted over 150 interviews with military personnel. I asked him what's happening now to gays in the military who are coming out.
What's interesting is that normally, once any branch of the military, once the commanding officer finds out you're gay, normally they move very quickly to kick people out. But that's not the situation now. There have been at least 15 cases I know of where reservists who want to go to the Gulf but don't want to go over there and end up getting in a situation where they'll be court-martialed and potentially thrown into prison, that they're going to their commanding officers and say, well, I want you to know before I go that I'm lesbian or I'm gay. And so the response of the commanders generally has been, well, that's all right, we'll take you anyway, and then maybe we'll kick you out when you get back. And some commanders are saying, that's fine, I don't care. One woman who was in a hospital unit in the Midwest went to her commanding officer and said, well, I want to go, but you should know that I'm lesbian. And the commander said, well, that's fine. If we didn't have lesbians in the hospital corps, we wouldn't have a hospital corps. And so there's a lot of situations where, because they need these people, because a lot of lesbians and gay men are some of the better qualified and have some of the highest performance rating, that the gay regulation is unofficially being overlooked.
But there's this fear that it will be overlooked during the war, and then whoever survives the war and is gay and lesbian might face, what, a dishonorable discharge upon returning home?
Exactly. I mean, historically, if you look at both World War II and Vietnam, the military in those cases were ready to overlook the fact that somebody might be gay because they needed warm bodies to send to the arena. What's different today in 1991 than in those previous wars is that now we have an organized gay movement. And I think what is the groundwork because of the military responding this way, very unofficially, I have to add, the Pentagon denies that this is happening, but it simply is happening. The Pentagon, by doing this, is laying the groundwork for, I think, much more aggressive challenges to the exclusion of gay people from the armed forces.
Randy, can you explain why the people who you've spoken to, I think you said there were about 15 people who recently came out, why are they choosing now to come out to their commanders?
Well, I think that they're making, as you look ahead to going to a situation where you might get killed, they're beginning to make some ultimate decisions. And I know one woman, the woman Donna Lynn Jackson, who came out and did this publicly at a hospital unit that was based in Fort Ord here in California. Her statement was that she didn't want to die in the closet. On the whole, these people are they don't come into the military with a political agenda. These people are Marines first or Army people first before. That's their priority before being gay. And I think that the fact that you know, a lot of these reservists, when they signed up, I don't think very many of them actually thought that they're going to go anywhere and get shot at. But now that they're facing that, they're saying, well, I don't want to have to hide it. Also, you've got to keep in mind that what gay people who are in the military face, that I think that there's those of us in the civilian world, you know, we know that they kick people out of the military, but I think we tend to think that they sort of take you by the hand and politely show you the door and courteously suggest that maybe you should seek employment elsewhere. And that's not the case. The fact is that what these reservists and the military people are facing, especially as they go into a war situation where they may be more easily discovered, that you've got to remember the military still throws people in prison for being gay.
What is the punishment if you're discovered to be gay in the military?
Okay, there are two different areas in which the military responds. First, there is an administrative area. There is a regulation, Department of Defense Regulation 1332.14, which is the regulation that bans gay people from the military. Now, you violate that regulation by thinking homosexual thoughts. All you have to do is have a propensity to be gay or have an intent to someday commit homosexual acts, and you violate this regulation. Now, for that, if you violate that, that does not have any criminal penalties, obviously. You would be subject to an administrative separation. Nevertheless, it's punitive in as much as if you're kicked out under this regulation, very often you get a less than honorable discharge. You don't get the benefits. You lose your job, first of all, by being kicked out of the military, and that it could make it very difficult, if not impossible, to get jobs in areas of expertise for which many people are trained in the military. So that's one area of punishment. The other area of punishment is if you violate the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ. Article 25 of the UCMJ, Article 125, makes any homosexual act, any and every homosexual act, punishable by 5 years in prison. So that this is where people are getting sent off to Fort Leavenworth for years of hard labor, that even if you have, you know, sex with your lover, a consenting adult in the privacy of your own home off base, every time you have sex, you can be put in prison for 5 years. And there are every branch of the military, each and every year, throws a few people into prison for being gay, the net effect of which is just mainly to scare the bejesus out of everybody else, so that when the military cracks down and has one of its massive purges at a base, that they'll get people to turn other people in order, with the threat that they'll go to prison if they don't.
Randy Schultz is my guest, and he's the national correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. For years, he was America's foremost reporter on AIDS, and he wrote the book And the Band Played On, which was a study of AIDS. But since April, he's been researching gays in the military, and that's the subject of a forthcoming book that he's writing now. Let's get back to the gays who are coming out to their commanders in the States before getting sent overseas to serve in the Gulf. And in the cases where the commanders say, well, we're going to send you over anyways, what are the gays and lesbians who have come out saying in response?
Mostly they're saying, fine, we'll go. There have been a couple situations where they've had trepidations over the idea that they're going to go and get shot at in the Gulf and then come back here, and rather than receiving the gratitude of a patriotic nation, they're going to be receiving a dishonorable discharge because they're gay. And so some people have contemplated going public, one reservist has, but on the whole, most of these people are being shipped off. And I think that this policy reflects something else that's very interesting, too, about what's going on. If there's anything that's been fascinating in terms of my research into this book, it's the extent to which a number of commanders and high-ranking people in the military today have no enthusiasm for kicking gay people out of the military. It's very interesting to see that they're, you know, among people up into the general officer level, into the generals and admirals, that there are a number of very, very high-ranking people now who do not think that gay people should be kicked out of the military. They don't say this publicly. They don't hold news conferences saying this. But I've heard story after story of gay people going to their commanding officers, and when a situation has come up where perhaps someone has turned them in as homosexual or something, and the CO's ripping up the statement that the person has signed it when they were turned in by someone else and things, there is not a unanimous support for these regulations in the military anymore.
I'm wondering if you've heard of instances where heterosexuals are claiming to be gay as a way to get out of serving in the Gulf.
Now, I haven't heard of this. Now, this is sort of an ongoing problem that the military faces, and I think it could be a severe problem for the military, particularly if they try to restart the military draft. The way the regulation is written, now this is not the UCMJ, but the regulatory, the administrative part of this gay regulation, that you, as I've said, you don't really need to ever have sex with someone of the same gender in order to be kicked out for being gay. All you have to do is state that you are gay or indicate that you may have an intent to commit a homosexual act in the very unspecified future. So I think what happens is if the selective service system is geared up again and we look ahead to having a draft, it's going to be virtually impossible to have a meaningful national conscription because I think you're going to have a lot of people just if you get anything resembling a strong anti-war movement on the campuses, I think you're going to get a significant number of college students just saying, well, I'm gay. You know, they'll just say gay. And and they'll be out of the draft. And I think once you do that, I think you could get a domino effect because other people are going to say, well, why are they getting out?
Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. My guest is Randy Shields. He's national correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle and had been really the country's foremost reporter on AIDS. He's the author of the book And the Band Played On. But since April, he's been researching gays in the military. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Randy Shields is my guest, the national correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's in the process of writing a book on gays in the military. From the interviews that you've done so far with gays and lesbians in the military, do you have any impressions of what life is like for gays and lesbians in the Gulf? Have you been able to glean that at all?
Well, it's interesting. I was in Jacksonville, North Carolina a couple weeks ago, and in the gay bar that's literally across the street from Camp Lejeune, which is one of the nation's major Marine bases. Every Friday night, all the guys who had friends in the Gulf were bringing down their letters, and everybody would read everybody else's letters. And in fact, a number of gay Marines from Camp Lejeune, using a computer in the Gulf, or a military computer, have started now putting together a newsletter for gay people from Camp Lejeune, which is being reproduced in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and then sent back to everybody's friends who are gay in the Gulf. So there's a huge network of gay people over there. In fact, I was just in San Diego yesterday, and the gay church there, the Metropolitan Community Church, estimates that it's got between 50 and 75 parishioners from that one church alone who are now serving in the Gulf. On the whole, I mean, most of these people are being, you know, working night and day just like all the other soldiers in terms of doing their soldier work. And most of their letters read an awful lot like the letters that you'd read in People magazine in terms of their concerns about, whether or not they'll get killed and whether or not that they'll die in some horrible, grisly way in this war. So a lot of that is the same. I think what's different is just that their fears about being discovered. I was talking to a woman yesterday in San Diego whose lover is serving in a reserve unit in the Gulf now. And so when she writes her letters, if she says anything that expresses any affection, like I really miss you and I love you, she can't sign her name, she just can sign her initial, because military censors can read these letters, and if they see a same-sex name, then that could lead to action, which could, you know, land her lover in jail. That people have to make up code words if they talk about, very often people will say, if they're thinking of, how they want to kiss somebody, they'll say, I'm thinking of, I'd really like some peanut butter, which means I'd like to kiss you or something. And they have to make up all these elaborate code words so they don't get found out. Another woman whose lover is serving in the Gulf in a Southern California-based reserve unit, what she does, what she does is make audio tapes to send to her lover. And what she does is write a letter and then has a male friend read the letter into the audio tape so that it doesn't sound like it's coming from somebody of the same sex. And then they send the audio tape to the Gulf region so that, again, the woman, the lesbian who's serving there won't get found out.
Are there differences between what gay men and what lesbians face in the military?
It's very striking, the differences. First of all, women are kicked out at a per capita rate 3 times higher for being gay than men are. Clearly, these regulations are being enforced much, much more strongly against women. It's my sort of, from my preliminary research, indicates that the reason this is because the gay regulation is being used in 2 ways. First of all, to root out women who are sort of threatening men by taking non-traditional jobs and going into institutions which traditionally have not had women in them, so that women who are, say, mechanics or doing things that are traditionally male jobs are under much greater suspicion of being gay and therefore much more likely to be kicked out. I think the second way in which these regulations bear down on women and which they don't bear down on men is I think the most depressing way, which is sexual harassment. The fact is that the gay regulation, as it's used against women, is a tool for sexual harassment of women. Routinely, I've heard this story again and again and again. Women who do not put out for men are accused of being lesbians. The cliche is either you're a whore or a lesbian if you're a woman that's in the military. What's most startling is that again and again and again, I've heard stories of men who are trying to get women to have sex with them, and they literally say, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to turn you in as a lesbian. And that happens all the time, and often it's very successful, because if a woman goes goes to her commander, and again, I've got numerous instances of where this has happened, if a woman goes to her commander and says, this guy is trying to hit on me and he's threatening to turn me in as a lesbian, the commander will usually respond not by investigating the man who is guilty of sexual harassment, but they'll usually respond by investigating the woman to see if she really is a lesbian. And I think that that's the most depressing way.
Do you think that the Gulf War will result in any challenges to the gay and lesbian policy of the military?
Oh, I think it's inevitable. With, I mean, there have to be tens of thousands of lesbians and gay men serving there. Undoubtedly, some of them, as soon as they get back, will be put up for discharges. And I think what's going to be different from this war than in Vietnam or other wars is that these people are going to fight them. So I think what we're going, I think it's inevitable that these regulations will fall in time and decades. But I think that this probably will accelerate the process because I think most Americans tend to be pretty fair-minded and they really won't cotton to these people who've served their country and risked their lives and then be kicked out for a reason that has nothing to do with their performance or their patriotism.
Randy Schultz, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Randy Schultz is the national correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's working on a book on gays in the military. We called the Pentagon to ask about Schultz's charges that homosexuals in the armed forces are knowingly being sent by the military to the war in the Gulf, but could face a dishonorable discharge when they return. No one was available to speak with us on the air, but a representative in the press office denied the charge and sent us a statement that says, military members who claim homosexuality will be neither processed for deployment nor deployed. They will be expeditiously processed for discharge and separated. This is Fresh Air.